So you do headphones or not? I'm going to do whatever you do.
Yeah, headphones.
You do headphones? So we know. So you're used to it too. You know, back in the day, the voiceover gig, I used to wear these things. So I'm comfortable wearing these.
You're good wearing these. You don't wear them on the full send pod.
No. I don't have much pull in the full send pod.
Really?
It's Kyle's way.
I know.
Or the fucking highway. That's it.
Is that really how it is?
With Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Kyle runs a very tight ship.
I know that.
John Shahidi runs a very tight ship.
Respect.
But it's to understand, they have to understand, they got to respect the fucking Godfather too at times.
Do they fully respect you?
They fully respect me.
They do.
They're good people. But they keep me in place too, because I have the tendency to go off the grid.
Yeah, you are a little crazy.
I have a lot of addictive personalities.
Multiple personalities or just one super addictive, depending on what the addiction is?
Maybe multiple personalities. That'll be further looked into when I sit down with my next therapist.
Okay.
As far as addictive personalities, definitely have addictive personalities.
Yeah, where did this shit start for you? Because I know you had problems with like the fucking Addy shit for a while. Mm-hmm. You don't do that anymore?
No, the Adderall, I still will take an Adderall because, like, I mean, for instance, when we were trying to work on getting Trump on the show.
Yeah.
You know, we got Donald on there.
Which was crazy.
Which was fucking nuts.
It was amazing.
We talked about it for a while. So the way that Trump happened, Dana obviously sealed the deal for us. But, you know, we always try and think big. And so I'm sitting with Steve. We're all fucked up at 2 a.m. I think I had the Secretary of Defense and I think a former CIA guy coming in, because I want to talk about Ukraine, Russia, and everything that's going on, because we try and keep our podcast relevant.
Yeah.
And then finally, I'm all fucked up in the hotel room with Steve. And I'm like, fuck it. Why don't we try and get Trump? So I texted Kyle and whatever, and we started the process of trying to figure that out. And then at the end of the day, Dana would never connect me directly with Trump. So that's when it's kind of a teamwork thing where Kyle needs to step in.
Yeah. This is a Dana thing. Allowed it.
Dana pulled the trigger.
Of course.
I mean, but obviously the wheels were put in motion by an Adderall.
An Addy.
And a few drinks at 2 a.m. and just shooting for the stars.
I'm curious about you, man. Maybe a lot of people are like, you seem to be, even on social, you seem like a crazy individual. Not so much on the podcast, but like sometimes you do things that, in my opinion, are crazy. Like, you know, you go through the girl drama, then like you're on your stories, like going through the drama, and you're very vulnerable in that sense. And I can appreciate the hell out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always kind of like been that way before social?
I mean, I've always tried to be exactly who I am and not bullshit. You see so much shit on social media now that's so like fucking fake and whatever.
Yeah.
Now my little, like, it's not like, it's like little fucking Instagram stories that you're probably referring to. Like, that's what you
dumb
watch.
Little dumb shit.
But what I always try and do, because I believe not everybody is perfect. People make mistakes and people go through a lot of shit in life. So what I try and do is I go through shit every day. I've made every single mistake in the book.
Yeah.
And haven't lived the perfect life. So what I try and do is, when you watch my little stories, if you do, and numbers are slacking, by the way, but
it's all good.
You
know, it's been tough lately. Instagram's been rough lately.
You know, it is what it is. Yeah. Censorship is a big thing. But what I always try and do is show exactly what is going on in the current time of my life. If I have a breakup with my girl and I'm feeling like fucking shit, I'm going to show it.
You're transparent.
And if I fucking am going, having the best time of my life and I'm high as ever, I'm going to show it.
Yeah.
If I'm having a great fucking time at Poppy Steak with Colby Covington, I'm going to show it. Yeah. Now, obviously.
So what happened there? Like, because obviously they got in a fight. You were there. Who else was there?
It was nuts. So the way that happened is, like, you know, I took a lot of shit, which was crazy. I'm not used to really taking a lot of shit on the internet, right?
I saw they were like, TMZ, this dude was the reason why that dude showed up. Like, what actually happened?
Well, I mean, I've never had, like, Nate Diaz tweeted at me, Bob Menery is a big pussy. And I was just
really
like,
Nate
fuck.
Did. I love Nate.
I love Nate too. I had a great relationship with him, but I guess that's part of the game and all that stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, when that shit happens for me, I get a lot of anxiety. I deal with a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
So it's something that I deal with. I've struggled with my whole life. And when anything like that happens, I fucking freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better at it, because you grow bigger and you start to partner up with these guys that are massive, like the Nelk Boys and whatnot.
Of course.
You know, it's just going to get bigger and you got to just realize how to handle it. But basically, I mean, that night we were, you know, like anything else, we did our podcast show. And we take every single guest out that, you know, we invite them out to dinner.
Yeah. But it was just you this time. Kyle wasn't there.
Kyle was at the dinner that night. It was me, Kyle, Oscod, Jimmy Gambles.
Okay.
Covington and Eric Spofford, my friend.
So why were you focused as the guy that, like,
I was focused on the guy that was like, set him up, which
right,
is the which most is... comical thing in the world. If anybody that knows me, and the reason why I have such great relationships and whatnot is, you know, I try and pride myself in being a respectful guy that would never, ever do anything like that for clickbait or anything. I don't give a fuck about that shit.
Yeah.
I let Kyle, whoever wants to do that shit, do that shit. But I was pinned as that guy because the famous little TMZ video that came out shows me, you know, cops all around Colby.
Yeah, I saw it.
And then shows me walking up to him and I say, my bad. And the reason why I said my bad, first of all, was because my bad, this happened under my watch.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I look at it as, like, I'm hosting the dinner. I expect anybody that take out, whether it be Shaquille O'Neal, Mike Tyson, blah, blah, whoever our guest is, I want to act like the host and make sure everything runs smoothly.
Yeah.
That's the way I like to operate.
Well, can you tell everyone who doesn't know what actually happened? Like, you're sitting there, you're next to the guy. This guy, Masvidal, just blindsides him. Like, what actually happened? Because I don't even know that yet. And I think people just see clips. They don't really know.
Well, nobody knows what happened. Yeah. There was nobody there. It was me and Colby. And that was it. And
so what happened?
What happened was, and there's legal shit going on right now, I guess, which is pretty shitty because you never like to see, you know, what Jorge did that night, obviously, is not, you know, it's pretty frowned upon. I don't think that you just kind of do what he did and run up on somebody and do what he did. I mean, I guess that Colby talked about his kids and that really set him off, but I think there's a better way to handle it. But what happened that night is... we're out to dinner. We're having a great time. We're looking. We were me and Colby were making a joke at the dinner about how we're going to go to Swan after this, and I'm going to pretend I'm a UFC fighter.
And you were going to pretend.
Yeah, me and Colby were going to have it because we did it the night before, and I was my nickname was the Lizard.
Where the fuck does that come from?
I don't know. I just thought of the top of my head. Okay, so I was lizard. Like, yo, I'm going to be again the Lizard tonight.
Bob Lizard Menery.
We're fighting in 3 months, and any girl that comes up to me, I was in a sweatsuit. I'm like, I'm the fucking Lizard. All right. So Colby's like, we're going along with it. And so I'm like, all right, you ready to bounce? And so we get up and we walk out. And the thing that pissed me off too is we had Chris with us. And I was just, you know, because there was actually just a state of emergency for like the shooting going on in South Beach. And Colby was a little bit like, wham, look what the fuck's going on. I'm like, dude, don't worry. We have your back. Like,
who's Chris?
Chris is the security guard.
Okay.
For Kyle.
Right. That's right.
And so I was like Chris is here. Like we should be good. Like we have guys that watch after us and whatnot when we go anywhere. And so whatever, we walk outside, we go out the door. There's a bunch of fans out there for Kyle and Nelk and all them.
Of course.
And, you know,
this happens outside.
Right when we get outside, there is, and I haven't given a statement or anything like that. I want to, which is basically what it is right now, but at the same time, we walk outside and Kyle and them are doing their thing. And then Colby had his own car there. And the car was parked across the street at Poppy Steak, Krupman's place. And so Kyle and the boys go in this car. And Colby and I, I'm like, I'll just roll with you. You want to roll with me? So before you know it, we take like 4 steps this way.
To get into an SUV?
No, to get into his car that was across the street.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it was just like, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. Like so quick.
Holy fuck.
And I'm looking there and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Like in
how many people? Was it just Masvidal?
I think there was two guys.
Okay.
There was two guys.
Masvidal being one of them or two and three.
I don't know anything about the other person. Like I just know that Masvidal just kind of ran up on him.
Yeah.
Just kind of unexpectedly. You know, it wasn't like, yo, Colby, what the fuck is up?
Oh, he went straight to it.
He just kind of ran up on him and just, I had front row seats. And I was like, oh my God. I didn't know what to do, but it was a brief moment. It was like, from what I remember, because I also was like 8 spicy margaritas in because I wanted to enjoy my night. What I remember was I just saw like, got a couple, it was like, real quick. Colby snuck out of it. Ran right in the restaurant back into Poppy Steak. Masvidal kind of just came back this way at him. And I kind of stepped up 7 margaritas deep. To Masvidal.
Yo, what the fuck were you going to do?
Well, no. I was just basically like, I was like, bro.
What are you doing?
I was like, relax. Like, fucking chill out. He's like, who the fuck just said that? And he kind of like looked at me and I'm just like, all right.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not a fucking.
No, I'm good, bro. This isn't my game. This is how it goes at me.
Yeah.
And then I believe that they just did.
So he was really mad.
I mean, I guess, you know, when you talk the kind of shit that Colby talks.
But is Colby talking it because it's like it's part of like the hype for a fight, or is he genuinely, you know what I'm saying? Like
this is what I was saying is like I didn't expect if it was at this level and I knew that the fight game was this serious, I would have not posted location. And I've learned from that. I'm not going to do that going forward. I learned my lesson. That's fucked up. Like, especially with these fighters, like they
really. Do you think that's how they found you guys? Is through the story?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, like, you know, everybody's giving me shit here. Like I said, we post everywhere we go.
Yeah, I know.
Like, right at the same current time.
I know.
And fucking Colby reposted us too, that night.
Yeah.
Two seconds later, so like Colby's story is showing. Like, people knew we were Poppy Steak.
Yeah, cool.
Plain and simple. So, if I could take it back, absolutely, because I never like to see fucking somebody facing the charges that Masvidal's facing. It sucks.
Yeah.
Like, emotions run high sometimes, and it sucks that you have to be. I mean, I just got off the phone with Colby 15 minutes ago, and I, you know, try to just. I just wish it didn't have to go through the legal system, because he's facing serious charges, and it's just.
Masvidal is.
Yeah. I mean, he's facing felony assault and whatnot.
Damn.
So, you know, you just never want that to happen. But at the same time, you know, you're a professional fighter. At some point, you got to realize, like,
you got to draw a line.
You got to draw a line.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So that was basically it. It sucked. And it ruined the night. But at the end of the day, I talked to Colby, and I just suggested, I was like, you know, is it the worst thing in the world to maybe like fucking let this thing go? And I don't know what he's going to do with it. But hopefully just this is a lesson learned that. You don't do this again, and you fucking move on, and you figure it out in the ring.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't go further.
It just sucks legal, when it sucks, because like, his family's involved with Masvidal's shit. It's like you don't never want to see anything go to the legal system, and Jorge's done some stuff in the past. You know, he's got to check himself, and hopefully it's a lesson he learns, but hopefully he doesn't learn it in too hard of a way.
Yeah, because that'd be fucking terrible.
Yeah,
like, to have to get pushed through that and have to deal with that sort of like there's like serious consequences to that kind of shit.
I mean, I think he's, facing serious fucking time. So you just hope it doesn't happen again. But at the end of the day, you know, for people to say, I read Twitter and shit, and all that shit bothers me. Like, oh, the Nelk boys set him up or whatever set him up.
I saw it.
Let me tell you what. Like, Kyle and all them, they do a lot of pranks and whatnot. When I'm involved, none of that fucking shit happens on my watch.
Yeah.
Because my reputation is too important to me, and I never want to be tied to that. And that's why I was so mad that night.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it, how it could be misconstrued or seen like, oh, because... You know, the pranking stuff and all that stuff, maybe they set it up and then you're there. Now you're the guy that they're focusing on because you were closest in that like visual that they're seeing on TMZ. So they're pinning it on you. But I don't see you, and I've never seen you to be that kind of guy who's like just like maliciously trying to make something a problem. No,
I don't care enough. I don't care about the money really doesn't motivate me. The fucking, I like to have respect. I like when people say that Bob's a good fucking dude, works his ass off. The money will come along the way. Like, I don't have a YouTube channel where I need to make clickbait. I have my little game that I play in. Lucky enough to partner up with the Nelk Boys and the Full Send podcast. It was a smart play for, I think, both of us. And I'm not really about the attention. I get too much anxiety.
The real question a lot of people have been asking is, should I be on the podcast?
I mean, you're more than welcome to at this point. I mean, you can have my fucking
season. No.
Yeah, you can have it. This is getting too much, bro.
No. You don't like the heat?
I fucking hate it. I really do, bro. You can ask my girl. I spend a lot of time with my girl at home, and I get so much, you know.
So where does this come from, this anxiety? Like, you've been dealt with this for a long time. You're like, because I deal with anxiety heavily in different ways, but these ones, I guess, because I've been on the internet for so long in a way that's like opening myself up to attacks from people, and I've been attacked so many times. I've dealt with so much shit that if that happened to me, I'd be like, just another fucking thing. You know, like, even the drug dealer jokes at first, I was like, haha, it's funny. And there was a point where it bothered me because, like, I remember, like, I was like, do people really think I'm a drug dealer? And it bothered me for a bit. Then I realized, like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I know the truth, right? Just like, you know the truth here. You're not a bad guy. You're not making anyone to like, get in that sort of situation at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question is, with your anxiety, this must be a new level of, you know, what sort of exposure you're being exposed to, just period, like the amount of people because of that audience is so large.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this though, prior to this sort of exposure, where did your anxiety start? Like in your life?
I've always had anxiety. I think it might run in the family too. I think my you know, a couple of family members I have anxiety and whatnot. I can't, it's tough. I have like tough days. You know, I suffer from depression. I suffer from anxiety. I suffer from paranoia. I suffer from, and I'm working on myself. You know, every day I try and work on myself and make myself a better person and figure out how to fix that stuff. But the internet doesn't help. And it's like, you know, what this does is this makes more people troll me because the internet's a bunch of fucking assholes.
It's okay though.
But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm starting to learn slowly. Like I said, I'm new to this game. You know, my story, as you know, like, or will know, is like, you know, 6 years ago, I had absolutely nothing to my name and just, nobody knew who the fuck I was.
Before Buffalo Wild Wings?
Way before.
I love.
I mean, way before, brother. I could take you down a deep rabbit hole today about.
So where do you come from then? Where is it all coming from?
Where does all what come from?
Like, where have you come from? You're talking about this story. I want to hear it.
I come from Lawrence, Massachusetts. So I was born and raised lower class in Lawrence, which is an inner city in Massachusetts. I cut to probably basically just graduating high school and then fucking wanted to be an actor. I always wanted to be an actor. I don't know why. Yeah. It was like a thing.
Because I want to understand where, like, Bob Menery came from. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know
Where it all started was 3 days on crystal meth, hallucinating, with a flat tire on the side of a road after 3 months
being homeless. What got you into drugs? And how old were you?
I was 26, 25 to 28, heavily using. Heavily using.
What got you into it? Like, why did you go down that road?
I was working in an atmosphere that called the caddy yard. So I was carrying rich guys' golf bags in the caddy yard. Okay. And so what a caddy does is he waits inside this little caddy yard with a bunch of other caddies and fucking waits for his name to be called. When his name's called, he goes carry his bag for $75 a day. And I was doing that from 24 to 28 years old. And it got to a point where I knew the potential that I had. I knew, but I was just like lost, you know, mentally and physically, not physically, mentally. And got in a crowd that was doing some bad things and developed a serious, serious cocaine problem.
But okay, so before the cocaine problem, you said you knew you had this potential in what?
I knew I had the potential because in just operating in a way where I could, I knew I was talented. I knew
In what specifically?
I knew I had this great voice that always caught people's attention.
Yeah.
I knew I had a way to be able to communicate with like people on a different level. I knew I came across as a very likable dude to people that I met because of, you know, just the way my dad taught me how to carry a conversation at a young age, how to shake people in the eye. My dad was an insurance salesman at Northwestern Mutual. So I learned the game of the streets, being a street salesman.
Yeah.
And so, but working at the country club, 28 years old, carrying golf bags was kind of just before I went back to Boston and all that shit.
So you're working there, you get involved in drugs because of this, the situation you're in? Like, is it because you're like...
I just started using and I got addicted. Like I said, I have an addictive personality.
Cocaine.
So, cocaine.
And then it got to...
crystal meth?
Yeah.
It was only crystal meth that one day.
Holy shit.
Because I thought I was ripping a line of coke.
Oh.
And so I took it off some guy in the street. I was running around doing my broadcaster voice in the streets of Hollywood one night. Some guy was like, yo, you want to bump a blow? And I was like, yeah. And I ripped it. And it was, I guess it was crystal meth because, and I had nowhere to live at that point. So I had a...
At 28.
28. My buddy, I was staying at my buddy's house, Ryan Shapery. And I was staying at his house and he finally said, I was living on an air mattress in his house. And finally he said, yo, I got to go. The lease is up. And I had minus $700 in my bank account because I misused my money because of all the drugs and shit and all the dumbass shit I was doing, not showing up for work. And there's not a lot of money in caddying. And he's like, yo, you gotta go. And I'm like, well, where do I go? And then I'm like, I had this car that a member gave me at the club. He just gave me a Jeep Cherokee or Wrangler or something like that. And so long story short, I'm out of a house. I have nowhere to live.
Yeah.
And I was always somebody who never wanted to call people for help. And so I said, you know,
I fucking relate to that heavily, man.
Didn't want to ever call. I didn't deserve it. You know, I'll call people for help now because I know I could provide value.
Right.
But back then I couldn't provide value.
What made you feel like you couldn't provide value back then?
I had nothing going on for me. I had a massive drug problem and I'd just be a distraction if I talked to anybody.
Yeah.
And so I went the first night in the car and I remember just fucking driving around looking for a nice neighborhood, 28 years old. And then fucking parking, and there was night one where I was fucking had a blanket and a pillow, put my car back, and went to bed.
I slept in my car for a few months as well, in my early 20s. And it's funny because it's a similar thing. Like, I was with a friend. I lived with a friend who, you know, I wasn't the cleanest person, like, at all by any standards. I am much different now. But then it was a situation where He was my best friend, still one of my best friends, still works with me in a different capacity than we did back in the day. But I lived in his house on his floor, and then we moved into like a thing together with another one of our buddies. And then when that was leaving, because he was going to open a business, ironically enough, out where I live now, out here in this area, Woodland Hills, he's going to open up a nutrition store. This is years ago. And I remember being like, oh, bet, I'll just move with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no.
Right.
And I remember being like, oh, fuck.
Here
I need
am.
To figure this out.
I'm stuck.
So what was that like being like, not because I, when I said I relate to you, I really do. I looked at it as if I went home, because I could go home. I could went home. My parents were there. My mom was there. She wouldn't have been like, yo, you know, you're a failure. You suck. But my personality at the time was like, if I go home, mm-hmm. I'm a fucking failure. Mm-hmm. I like didn't get done what I believed that I could get done. Mm-hmm. So what made you feel like, you know, you were going to stick it out? What made you feel like this is, you were going to make it? Like, why you said, okay, did you have other options?
Well, I went to LA, first of all, to be a stand-up comedian and actor, and just I had so much fear in me that I used to sign up for open mic comedy clubs, and my name used to get close to the list, and I used to just freak the fuck out and just run out before. So I never really did that. Me trying to be an actor comedian in fucking LA was me walking up to a table to random people, hammered, and just being like, Tom Brady, ESPN, Bob Mallory here tonight, blah, blah, blah. And I'd put on this identity, and people would be like, what do you do? And I never wanted to admit to any of the girls that I was a fucking golf caddy, because you're not going to get any real pussy as if you're a fucking golf caddy.
Right.
So I was like, well, I actually am the Jacksonville Jaguars play-by-play guy down at WJNN radio and whatever. And that was the only kind of play I had. But, yeah, I mean, it was. I spent 3 months in that fucking car. And, you know, the first night slept there. I was like, all right. It was weird because you can't really sleep in. You can't really sleep in. You want to maybe, you know, when you want to sleep in and rest till
The light just wakes you up.
Light comes up. There's garbage trucks fucking buzzing around. It's like, beep, beep. You're like, fuck.
5 a.m. for sure you're up.
But then you got to realize, fuck, I got to shower. So
I always go to 24. That's what I did.
YMCA.
Because I was always working out. Yeah.
I never do. I got to get on your shit too. I got to talk to you about that too, because I'm a big fan of all the shit you've done with all the workout stuff. I just don't have the mental discipline to do it right now.
Yeah. I'll help you when you're ready.
I'm ready. Hopefully so.
Actually ready?
No.
Because you're crazy, bro.
No, I know. Life's going fast.
So okay. When did you... I just want to know, like, when did you realize... Like, you had this sense that you could be good at something, right? But in your early 20s, 20, and then 28, like, you're crashing and burning. Like, and you're fucking doing drugs. You're in your car. When were you, like... When was the turning point? When you're like, yo, I need to change this. How did you change it?
The turning point was this. It was rock bottom. The third day of after taking that line of crystal meth, still awake, hallucinating, parked my car in Sherman Oaks at this place.
To this day,
I don't know if this is a true story or not. That's why I wanted Ernie to come, because Ernie can tell it great, because he was the guy who like saved my life.
Okay.
Ernie was a good friend of mine who literally found me in that car and was like, you got to go home. I was hallucinating and I'm laying in there, and still to this day, I don't know if it was real or not. I think it was, but I thought there was this prostitution ring.
So you're basing this off of a story that this guy you're talking about told you after the fact, pretty much, right?
No, I was. This is the real story. I was sleeping there, and then fucking, it was like 4 a.m, and these cars kept pulling up behind that one place I was parked, and it was like a shady little place in Sherman Oaks that I thought was safe. And again, to this day, I don't know if it was real or not.
Okay.
I don't know if it was real.
You don't know if you're hallucinating or not?
I don't know if I was hallucinating or not.
Got it.
So I'm thinking, I'm just hearing these girls. I'm hearing people like fucking. I'm hearing people whatever. I'm freaking the fuck out. So I'm like sitting there under the covers like this, freaking the fuck out, shaking. Because I'm like, fuck, if they find me, they're going to think I'm like a police officer. They're going to think I'm like a fed. They're going to think whatever. Like, and I'm parked right in front of them. And there's this car. And if I lean up too much and I'm seeing shadows walk by and all that.
Fuck, dude.
So I'm like sitting there like freaking the fuck. I'm like, I got to get out of here. Now I have a flat tire, so I can't really get out of there. And at the same time, I don't want to get out of there, because if they see me pull out, they're going to come and chase me.
That's just what you thought.
Don't know.
Fuck, dude.
So,
this is intense.
So then, finally, it's all gone. All the noise is gone. That little prostitution ring that was being run behind me is silent. And it's 5:30 in the morning. I get up. I start my car. I'm freaking out so bad, I have a flat tire. I start my car. I drive down the road. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. The flat tire is going, right? So I take a left-hand turn. Still to this day, don't know if this is real or not. All of a sudden, I see 5 cars fly around the corner and start chasing me.
You don't know if these cars are real or not, is what you're saying.
I don't know if these cars are real or not.
Okay, you're really on drugs like that.
I don't know, but at the same time, I think it might have happened.
Yeah, okay.
So I drive immediately, and I'm like, where's the safest place? What's the next place I can go that's like, it's 5:30 in the morning. I pull into the CVS pharmacy.
Oh, that's smart.
Okay, it's 24 hours.
Yeah.
I get out of the car, jump in, run inside CVS and freak the fuck out. I would love to go back and find that surveillance footage. I'm like, people are chasing me. You got to help me. Please call the police. Call the ambulance. Please. Somebody call me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I'm running through. I run through. I see a guy walk in and I look at him And I fucking him. This guy's looking at me. And again, I don't know if he's real or not.
Bro, this is...
So I don't know if he's fucking real or not. So I run through the back. I set off all the alarms in CVS. It's like the alarms all start going off. The manager comes over. He's like, what the fuck is going on? He just thinks this is cracking. I'm like, call the ambulance. Call the fire department. Call everybody. People are after me. People are after me. Long story short, it's like a fucking scene. People come up. Fire department pulls up or whatever. So as I'm walking outside with the police officer out to the front of CVS, I look over and I see that car that's familiar that I remember for that night that was following me that pulled out. So I look over and I see them roll down the window and there's four guys in the car looking at me like that. What so I'm fuck? Like, guys, I'm like, yo, I don't want to make a big deal of it, but you see that car over there? There's fucking people in that car and they were fucking, I was in this thing. I don't know what happened, blah, blah. They're like, all right, hold on, calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. They go over to the car and I'm just chilling. 2 minutes go by. They walk back.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Bob, I just want to let you know there's nobody in that car.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, they're like, what do you want us to do? So I got in an ambulance, 28, drove to the hospital and checked in.
Yeah. How much time did you spend at the hospital?
I mean, they were basically just like, you know, they didn't do any blood tests or anything like that, but they were just like, basically like, this kid's fucking going through something. They dismissed me after 15 minutes, but then the paranoia didn't stop. So I left.
So prior to all this, you didn't deal with a lot of like paranoia and stuff.
No, this was
This is everything now after.
That's why I think it was the fucking drugs I was on.
Psychotic break there.
Yeah, it was definitely like what I had taken that night. And just so everybody knows too, I don't do fucking blow. I don't do any of that stuff anymore. Like obviously you get temptations to do it still.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I just never want to go back to. You know, Adderall is something that I'll take that's kind of actually similar.
Right.
But I don't suggest Adderall for everybody. It has its pros and its cons.
Of course.
But if you can manage it in the right way, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
So
that's a fucking intense story, man.
So yeah, but then I leave the hospital and I call my buddy and I'm like, yo, Ernie, you got to get me the fuck out of here. Comes, picks me up, is like, you're fucked up. Calls my parents, my sister, brother, like, we got to get Bob out of here. I fucking get in the fucking car. He drives me straight to the airport. I'm in the back seat crying. My eyes out bawling, thinking people are fucking chasing me. Ernie gets me that flight. That's why Ernie I fucking got for life. He's literally, not a lot of people answered my call that day, and he made it happen. And so get to the airport, got my ticket, sat there, fell asleep, knocked out. All of a sudden, something woke me up that day outside of that thing because they were closing the doors right before. And it was like, Robert Menery, last call. Robert Menery, last call. And I woke up, and I got on that plane. I smelled like shit. I hadn't showered in 3 days.
Yeah.
I got on that plane. I went back to Boston, moved into my parents' house at 28 years old.
And from that point, when did you start to really develop who everyone knows as Bob Menery today?
So I get back to my place. And then after...
Because the voice thing's amazing.
Yeah.
And the shit, and the comedy shit,
mm-hmm.
like that shit's hilarious. I love it.
I'd always done it. So remember when I said I always went up to people and did my shtick?
Yeah.
Just never went anywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
It goes on the internet for sure.
Well, now it does. Yeah. But back then I was just doing it as a shtick to random ass motherfuckers I ran up to in the street because right. It gave me a high, but yeah. I wasn't really ever doing anything like
for the reaction.
And it was always good. It was always pretty good. It was always like, holy fuck, what a voice you have.
Yeah.
What a fucking voice you have. And I would get me high in one way.
Right.
The other way was the other way.
Yeah. Not that way.
And
anymore.
So long story short too, I went, my buddy invited me to be an extra in a music video. He had like 3,000 followers on YouTube. He's like, want to be in my music video? I'm like, fuck yeah.
This is around the same age, 28?
This is 2 days after I got back from LA after tripping on crystal meth.
Okay.
So I go back, I sit on the couch, and it's 2 a.m. after the video shoot is done. Like I said, you see my fingernail in the video. That's it, basically.
What are your parents saying? Are they like, yo, what the fuck's going on? Like, how was that going down?
My parents are always extremely supportive.
Yeah.
They were always the best. And I just came home, and like literally I said, our bedrooms are like this. They downsized to a small, teeny apartment. You know how much of it sucks. 28 years old to walk, go back home and be like, fuck, I failed again.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I went to that house that night. Some kid took out his camera at the right time. And if you look at my first Instagram post ever that's still there, it's me on the couch fucked up out of my mind being like, it is Sunday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers, and whatever, blah, blah, blah. It was captured and David blasted out to like Bro Bible and a bunch of different things. And that's when my clip went viral. Like, why isn't this guy a sports broadcaster? But it happened 2 days
after that.
2 days after. But I went to apply for a job at Leary's Liquor Store the day before for $11 an hour. I walked in because my brother-in-law's like, you got to get a job.
When did this stuff on the internet start picking up? Was it like within weeks or did you just start posting more content or like what got you like, oh, I can do this?
It's like anything else. You go viral. It's like it hits for a second. So what I did was I had this clip that went on Bro Bible, and then this company Storyful hit me up, and they were just like, "Hey, we want to license out your video and like make it a bigger thing."
Yeah.
And so I sold it to them for like $500, and they blasted it all across like MSN, whatever. And it was like, if you go on the internet, it's like, the man with the golden voice. Why hasn't he been picked up by somewhere? And then I had no idea really back then what social media was, and I was introduced to it by a lot of the phone calls I got based on using that company Storyful to blast it. Not suggesting that you use Storyful. It just worked for me.
Yes.
You know, because they will own all your shit and reproduce it and whatnot on their own terms.
Yeah, they own the rights to it.
They own the rights to it. But
they gave you $500 for the rights to it.
$500 for the rights
to it. They probably made thousands off of that.
It doesn't matter what they made. It's like at the end of the day, like, I don't know what I did. It just happened. I did it and whatnot. But and then, yeah, I got a bunch of phone calls. I met my first guy. His name was Brandon Mack. And he was like, "Ever heard of like social media?" And then that was when like Instagram and all that stuff happened.
So what year was this?
My memory is terrible. So I mean, it's gotta be 6-7 years ago, probably. Okay. Yeah. When, yeah, I don't even know. Probably, I don't know. 20, I can look it up.
2015?
Whenever that first video was posted on my fucking page.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
I'll and, check it out.
And so that was, then I started doing what sports announcers want to say, but can't. And
That's
what I was doing.
Bro, that's just some of the funniest content.
That's what I'm known for.
Legit.
That's
my favorite.
Before jumping on board with the big boys, with the Nelk and all you fucks, in my little lane, where I didn't have to worry about TMZ and dumbass fucking beef on the internet and all that.
That's what it is.
That's what got me started.
It's territory, though. Like, you got to know, like, stepping into it. Like, obviously, there's pros and cons to everything. Like, you know, like, it's only going to get crazier. You know, the more that you're in it, the more that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the name of the game, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of it. You just got to fucking fully accept it.
It is, which I'm getting better at. That's why, you know, I want to find somebody I can sit down and talk to and fucking flush out all this shit in my head. And
I'm your guy, man.
Are you my guy?
I'm your guy.
I know you are, bro.
I've been trying to get you here for like weeks, man. And you're like, I'm here. You're like, fuck. This guy was like, I tried to get him here the other night, and he's like, "Yo, I'm with DK and whoever else, or I don't even know." You're always
Russ the rapper.
You're always like random fucking people.
I'm with random people because you know what? I always look at every situation I'm in. You know,
but how did you start getting into these situations with these people? Like, that's a big question I have. Is like, how are you finding yourself in these networks with people like this?
I was the hungriest motherfucker on the planet that did not care if I blasted your phone and blew you up and didn't take no for an answer and was just like, you know, people are following you for a reason. So I would find the people that were following me and I would just kiss their ass and be like, really appreciate it. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I would just build connections. The power of social media now is so strong that you can basically get to anybody on the planet, whether or not directly to the source, or you can use 6 degrees of separations to figure it out.
Right.
And that's what I enjoy most. Like, the biggest part that I love about it is, like I said, it's not the money or whatever, that shit comes. It's about the game. It's like an accomplishment of figuring out, like, how can we get Trump in 12 hours? Yeah. I like to set goals for myself. How can I put $100,000 on the board? How can I get $100,000 today?
How did that go? Like, did you guys have to pitch him what questions you're going to give him first before he says yes? Like, how does that work?
With Trump?
Yeah.
What happened with Trump was basically it just started with the idea of like, hey, Kyle, John, let's get Trump.
Yeah.
Like, we have backups.
But I mean, on his turn, like, are they, like, when it goes to him, he goes, okay, what are the questions?
They
like,
were very cool. They didn't give a fuck.
Okay.
They were just like, it's an open floor. And actually, hats off to Donald Trump for just being like, I don't want any of this edited at all.
Really?
Nothing. He didn't take one thing out of that interview. He didn't care about, you know, really anything. At the same time, we're not, you know, the best political debaters, I guess you could say.
Of course.
You know, we kind of gave him a floor to go off
right
and do his shit. But yeah, he was very, they were very cool. I mean, it was in and out. We walked in, Secret Service was there. They greeted us. The Sprinter van opens. It's like marijuana pouring out of it.
I already know. You know? I already know where that's coming from.
And the best is the best part. Kyle and I always battle like with our egos, right? Because it's like, it's like me, you know, we always like, who gets the guest, you know, who gets the guest. So like the best was like Kyle's taking all the credit for Trump and like whatever, which is fine. Like, you know, we worked. It was a great team effort.
Yeah, yeah.
I pushed them and then Kyle put it over the edge by getting Dana to get it to done.
Yeah.
You know, but I called Dana 35 times that night with Steve in the hotel and said, I want Trump. I called him 35 fucking times on FaceTime.
I believe you.
He'll tell you. I called him 35 fucking times. I called Donald Trump Jr. 12 times.
Did you have Steve call him?
Steve was just kind of like, yeah, playing along, but wasn't like doing it from his phone. But we were tagging him on the internet. We were fucking with him. Like, we were just poking him.
Oh, my God.
And so, yeah, but we get there. Secret Service does this. And they were just like, here's the deal. There's one rule. Just don't wander. Don't wander.
What does that mean?
Like, we will shoot you.
Don't wander.
Don't wander.
Like, don't walk around.
Don't walk from here to here. Don't walk over there.
Oh, Secret Service said that.
Yeah, we will shoot you. And then you have like these big egotistical maniacs, all of us in the room, like thinking we could do whatever we want. And they put us in check real quick.
So, straight up. They were dead serious about that.
I mean, I don't think why wouldn't you be? Yeah. You know? Maybe the next president of the United States, former president of the United States. They don't fuck around.
Yeah.
You know? So we go in there and it was 12:30. We were supposed to do it at 1 o'clock. We sat down at 12:30. Me and Kyle sat down. We're like, should we talk a little bit before? All of a sudden they're like, the president's ready for you. And there he is. He just walked right in. He's like, Dana White must really love you guys. He must really, really love you guys because this is going to be big. This is going. And I'm like, what has my life become?
It's pretty fucking crazy.
I'm like, I am about to sit down with the president, former president of the United States, and not prepared as much as I should be.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's dope.
And there we
were. So what did you think about what Kimmel said? Because I think it's fucking crazy. You saw that bit where he was talking about like, he was the thing that irked me when I saw this, I'm just going to say it before you even say anything, mm-hmm. was he mentions like, wow, it's crazy this guy had time to do this during a war. It's like, what the fuck? Like, first and foremost, he's not the acting president, mm-hmm. right? But like, he's making jokes or this condescending like nature towards like doing a podcast while this is going on as if it has any relationship to it going on or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the craziest shit like that. I'm not going to make this political or anything. I'm not trying to make this, but like when I see that stuff, like it doesn't matter if you're what side you're on, that whole conversation that I heard, the clip that Kyle posted, mm-hmm. and I heard him say about like just the fact that like this guy's going on a podcast during war, like with these idiots, doofuses. It's like, it's just a really weird position to take to, you know, to push out to your audience mm-hmm. when it's like, wait, you're literally making a bit about the same bit.
Mm-hmm.
During a war, it's like if you're trying to make this like condescending nature, it's like, mm-hmm. what the fuck is going on? It's just a weird thing. That was my feel on it. I was like, okay, that's irrelevant, but I get it.
Never had a problem with Jimmy Kimmel. But, you know, and I don't get rattled easily. But at the end of the day, you know, there's plenty of room for everybody to eat. I think that I just didn't like the three doofuses thing. It's like at the end of the day, and not giving us our credit that we deserve. We work very hard day in and day out. As you do as well, and your show and your fucking brand and all that. He just didn't, he fucking rubbed us the wrong way. Like, he called us three fucking deuces. He can say whatever he wants with Trump.
Of course.
Been doing that for fucking 5 years. He's been on Trump, every fucking thing he's on Trump. That's fine. But guess what? We're big enough now. We have the number two show in the world. Respect to Rogan because he deserves the number one spot, but we might share it with him one day. You know, we might be going back and forth with Joe as well in the number one spot. And so, he's entitled to his opinions, but we're not fucking doofuses.
Yeah.
We work our asses off. Kyle and them have done a great job at building Happy Dad Seltzer up to be one of the biggest, most powerhouse fucking alcohol brands on the planet.
Yeah.
The NFT project they just fucking blasted is fucking massive and only going to continue to grow. These guys are smart guys. John Shahidi's a very smart guy. As much as I like to bust John's balls and Kyle's balls and Sammy, they have a fucking, all you guys are very smart people. And when you hear that, I don't get vocal that much. I fucking was pissed.
Yeah, I was like that. It's just
not that he cared. Like, Kimmel doesn't give a fuck about Bob Menery, but, you know, like, he just had to try.
Yeah, but they're like, fuck that guy, though. It's just kind of stupid.
It is what it is.
Shitty take.
But I think that at the end of the day, he doesn't. I think a lot of these people, too, think about it. You're making that amount of money. You're working for mainstream TV. Like, do you really pay attention to the internet? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
So I don't really blame him.
Maybe they're just fed the narrative to then react to the narrative.
He's got some writers and stuff probably that do it. So it's not like Kimmel. It's more like probably the network writing it. But at the same time, like, before you do that, like, we're going to come at you a little bit.
So what do you think about that? That concept of like, because I do believe that people are fed stuff that like they're not necessarily the ones in creation of.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that form of media is going to slowly die more and more? Because like
I think it's going to continue to compete against each other.
Yeah.
I think it's going to continue to compete against each other. I think it's just going to continue to be like, which sucks because it, with all this shit going on right now, not to get political, but this country is just becoming extremely divided.
Yeah.
Which sucks. And little do you know what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, and China maybe invading fucking Taiwan, and Afghanistan being taken over by the terrorists. and all this other shit, we're becoming less of a real powerhouse because we're worried about so much of the little shit.
Yeah.
And again, not political expert at all, but just from my stupid ass little fucking opinion, I just think that this country needs to toughen up a little bit. The only problem I had with Trump was Trump, certain policies I agree with. I think what Trump needed to do was obviously be a little bit smarter with his Twitter game.
Yeah.
He needed to act a little bit more like a, you know, play the role a little bit more as being a president. And he did have a tendency for some reason to divide the country.
Yeah.
I don't think it was really in his control, but the country was a lot more divided when Trump was in office.
You don't think it's more divided now?
I mean, look at what happened with the riots on the streets and all that shit back in the day.
Yeah.
It was just for some reason we were just very disrupted. Not saying for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, but it was, right? And I think that there's some of the things that Trump could do better if going forward in his next election to change and tweak some little tiny things to just kind of help avoid that issue. Because right now is a time where this country needs to truly, truly get back to where it was.
Back to unity. Yeah.
No.
Well, we were talking about this on the last podcast with like Mike and George that came in here. And I think the thing that we were talking about that I think is super relevant to talk about even in this podcast is people have like lost the ability to have compassion for the other side or a different perspective other than their own. Like there's just like, if they don't agree, like if it's some side's not agreeing, they're just like, fuck you, you're an enemy, instead of like trying to understand either side. Mm-hmm. I think we've lost that. Like, I don't know if we've been taught to lose that or if we're like over time conditioned to not have that condition to just like want to attack the other side if they're not agreeing with us. But it's like, mm-hmm. that's the biggest issue is like, we're not taught to like, hey, this is how you feel, this is how I feel. Like, is there a middle ground?
So can you give me, if you can, it's okay. Can you give me an example of what you're
bro, just straight up. Like, you know, if I'm over here and I believe this side, whether it's like, I'm on this, you know, this side of the aisle, right side or left side. Right. And then depending on what, you know, the left side saying or what the right side saying, it's like, it's this direct attack that it's like, if you just don't agree with me, mm-hmm. you're just a bad person, or you don't agree with me, like you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've been conditioned over the last few years, like to really think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the real problem is like, if I'm not having compassion with how you view something, because how you view something is completely unique to mm-hmm. your entire like upbringing, your surroundings, everything that's like has influenced you to that point to make some sort of decision. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go, you're wrong. It's like, I also did not live and walk in your shoes. I don't experience what you experience. I don't understand what you understand fully, because we're two completely different human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you you're just wrong because I over here think something else differently,
mm-hmm.
that's where you've lacked compassion. You've lacked trying to understand the other side of the other person. I think that's our biggest miss as a fucking country.
Mm-hmm. And then the question is, how do you change it?
Right.
Talking about it, I think that and I think that censorship is a big thing. I think that like what happened with our show, obviously,
I found fucking crazy.
Absolutely crazy, right? I mean, we put it up on YouTube, and like, I mean, look at Lil Durk, for instance, right? Lil Durk episode was trending number 3 on YouTube. Look at the numbers, how they were going, right? Now look at Donald Trump, how the numbers were going there. How are we not number 1 trending in the world on YouTube? We were censored. And so I think what ended up happening was, by that being pulled down, I think that we, believe it or not, this small group of doofuses and YouTube fucking idiots sent a message on really the censorship and freedom of speech.
I mean, it got what,
country.
Like 5 million in like hours.
We were popping. I mean,
like that was one of the craziest things I think I've seen. And if the crazy thing that I'm looking at, it's like, because the thing with Donald Trump is, whether you like him or don't like him or agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone still, you could see, wanted to see that shit.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
And the thing is this, why shouldn't they have been able to see it?
Yeah.
What was
the reason why they took it down?
I'm not going to, I know that I just read based on, I never dove deep into it, because I let John Shahidi's a genius. Kyle's a genius. I let them do their thing. You know, I'm a talent on this show. I believe in these guys. I do whatever the fuck they say because I really believe in their brand. I trust these guys. I don't dive too much into that stuff.
Right.
Because I just trust them. I guess it was like, first of all, in the screenshots, YouTube said, we think that this is the reason why we should pull it down. They use a weird, if you go look at the screenshot on Kyle's post or whatever, a Full Send podcast, we posted it. They use some very weird words, but it was something about the election fraud when he mentioned election fraud. So, which means it's probably under litigation or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So they had a reason. They were just obviously looking for any reason to take it down. And I think that was just why they did it, was because of he talked on election fraud. But at the end of the day, they did it because of, we all know why they did it. It's because they did not want Donald Trump to have a platform, because, to be honest with you, I mean, I think that most of the, you know, the media today is being run by that side.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. So you just, I don't really, I mean.
So look, do you think now it's affected the rest of the podcast on attraction?
It's helped it 100%.
It's helped it.
Helped it. What it actually ended up playing in our
favor. But on YouTube, has it hurt it?
On YouTube, it's only helped it.
Okay.
No. And I think that it's helped it because we, you know, when Kyle and I first decided to do whatever he wants to say, but, you know, when Kyle and I first decided to partner up in this podcast, we've been talking for a while, and I basically said, Kyle, you guys have your thing going. You're crushing it, Kyle. You're crushing it. But what I'm able to, I think, help with and assist with is take you, like, a little bit more mainstream, you know? And, like, when is Nelk Boys going to be on ESPN with Antonio Brown running off the field, taking off his shirt?
Right.
Having the first interview, we're all over Adam Schefter. Like, when is Adam Schefter covering the Nelk Boys? Whatever. That's what I could have their value with.
Yeah.
And I said, Kyle, what Kyle's helping me with is I need their audience.
Of course.
I'm getting older. I'm getting whatever. I want your audience.
Yeah.
I want to be able to try and come into your audience and see what I can do. So that's why it was a perfect partnership. But I think that the whole Trump censorship thing, hopefully, I think we made our statement. And as much as I get anxiety, like Trump airs, I'm like, fuck, I hate this shit. Colby shit happens. I'm like, I hate this shit. But at the end of the day, and it's not going away either, because Trump is now going to make this, because Trump sticks to one thing. He's going to make the censorship.
Yeah.
I mean, this, we got this YouTube podcast. This is going to be like 2 years. Now I'm going to have 2 years of anxiety dealing with, you know.
Fuck it.
Because I always like to just be friendly to everybody. As much as people can call me a pussy, call me whatever, I just like to try and wish we could live in a world where everybody fucking gets along. But unfortunately, it's not that.
Yeah.
So
it's fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite guest so far?
My favorite guest so far is when we sat down with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, why?
I mean, obviously, talking about Trump was the coolest starstruck moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm looking, I'm sitting there like this.
You're like, holy shit.
Nodding my head, and I'm just staring at the president. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever dealt with in my life.
Yeah.
This can't be happening. This is not real life. But Mike Tyson was cool because we went in there so unprepared. Because Kyle's schedule, they're working so hard. They're all over here. I'm over here, not working as hard, but still, you know.
Yeah.
Posting summer sheiky fucking my girlfriend pics.
Yeah.
You know, but well, I want that real life, Brad. You know, so I want to go to a farm and just have kids.
So stupid.
And so yeah, I forgot my point. But I forgot my point.
It's all good.
My ADHD's kicking.
Mike Tyson. Why he was your favorite?
Oh, Mike
guest.
Tyson. Yeah. Yes. So basically, Tyson was cool because we went in there out of the blue, and Mike's like, "Yeah, man, you got to smoke my weed. You got to do whatever. You got to smoke my weed." So
did he just release ears that are bitten like some edible that's like a.
I don't know. Did he?
He did. Like a bite, like a bitten ear edible.
That dude is the fucking man, bro.
Yeah.
It was the fucking man. And like, I smoked a bunch of weed. It was the highest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. Were you really like super high in that podcast?
You know, I suffer from, like I said, panic attacks and all that shit. And when you smoke weed sometimes.
Me too.
You get panic attacks.
Yeah. Especially when you smoke too much.
Yeah. That's what I did, Brad.
So you're on there kind of tripping.
But guess what? Normally when you have a panic attack, what do?
I fucking, I don't know, call my mom.
Yeah, cool. Get up and call your mom,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, leave. I dip, dude.
Get up and run around the room, right?
Yeah,
go for a walk.
Yeah, you're like, kind of like, you do this. You're like.
Yeah, go drink from a sprinkler across the street.
Something crazy. So you sat there, you thugged
it out. I can't get up. I'm interviewing fucking Mike Tyson. I can't move. So I'm baked out of my mind and having a panic attack throughout pretty much that whole episode. And, but I also just wanted to, you know, I try to fuck with him. There's a good clip on there with the ants. Because Mike was like, you know, I believe that I don't really like, you know, I don't kill bugs. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't kill bugs? He's like, yeah, just don't kill bugs. I'm like, well, what if there's an ant right there on the floor, are you going to kill it? He's like, well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying whatever. And I'm like, and then me and Kyle kept busting his balls and being like, well, what if there's an ant problem? You know, we just kept fucking him. And there I am, like, Mike's like starting to get pissed. He's looking at me and I'm like, and I'm having a panic attack at the same time. So
was he, you thought he was actually getting pissed?
I mean, at this point, I don't fucking know. I just want to dinner with Colby, this fucking Masvidal. I don't know what the fuck goes on in his life anymore. I don't fucking know. So I don't fucking trust anybody. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I think that he was getting grilled, but then at the end, it made me feel good. Halfway through, he's like, you know what, Bob? Everybody called you an asshole. Everybody called you an asshole. But you know, you're a good guy, Bob. You're good. I was like, all right, thanks. I feel good.
That calmed you down.
Calmed me down.
Have you ever got fucked up on another podcast? Who fucked up?
I'm pretty much fucked up on every podcast.
Yeah.
In a sense of,
I took some mushrooms before this one.
Did you really?
Yeah. Just a little bit. A little nib, though. Like a little microdose.
I'd love to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm always afraid because what if you have severe anxiety,
I have severe anxiety. And it doesn't give me that. No, it's all about the amounts.
So, but do you have to be around, what do they always say? You have to be around the right people or you're going to jump off a building?
Yes.
Yeah, so,
no, you're not going to jump off a building. I mean, this is like the amounts that I'm taking. It's all about the amounts. If I took a ton, of course, I'd be like, okay, I want to be in my room by myself. I want to be laying out on the grass by myself or like have someone around that I know like is sober, that has my back. Would it be like a sober sitter in that sense? Like if you take a lot. But when you're working with like really small amounts, you never get to that point.
So it's called microdosing?
It's called microdosing.
Okay. And microdosing means?
It's a certain amount of psilocybin, basically.
Okay.
So, you know, like typically like a journey where you'd get fucked up, you'd be like, yo, you're going to want a sober sitter, someone to be like, yo, you good? Would be like 3.5, 4 grams. That would like fuck you up in a sense of you'll have like an ego death. Like you'll feel like.
What does an ego death mean?
An ego death is like, you know, Bob Menery, the guy with the voice, the guy who's like the fucking, you know, the man. He's good at fucking networking. He's good at communicating. When that whole sense of you dies and you're just like Bob Menery, like you, just a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to understand like, yeah, you have all those things, but they, even though on the front end, you know that they make you who you are, it's not who you truly are in your heart. Like who you truly are.
To get to that point though, how much do you have to take? That doesn't happen in the microdose though, right?
It doesn't, no. It depends on every person, but typically it's going to be a dose that's a little bit more. And it's actually so fucking therapeutic, man.
How do you know the right regulated amount to take? You start by microdosing?
Yeah, that's what I'd recommend. So it's like, I wouldn't be like, hey, just take fucking 4 grams and then good luck and see what happens. Because like you, like for example, when I did it, that's how I did it. I took 3.5 grams the first two times. And each time I got to this point where it was like super fucking dark. Mm-hmm. Like it was too much where like I needed my boy to like pull me out of it.
Tell me that. So go into that because I'm curious. So what do you mean? What's super dark? What's happening like in your thing?
All right. So I deal with anxiety just in general, right?
Do you take any anxiety medication that's prescribed?
No.
I've
actually
in that?
No.
Okay.
I do know that it band-aids the problem. But if you're never actually like creating the right habits around your reaction to anxiety or the habits that you can create, like meditation and things that can work prior to ever having anxiety, like if you just never deal with those things in that way, meaning like if I just took a pill and I was like, okay, I took this pill, I'm good, I won't get anxiety. And then I just stopped getting anxiety. But it's like now you're relying on this thing for the rest of your life, right? Versus setting up like reactions, you when it happens, knowing how to cope with it. And then when it's not happening, coping with it proactively, meaning like when you're not having anxiety, this is the thing that's really helped me. I'm completely normal and I'll go meditate and I'm completely normal and I'll go and like, you know, I'll do sort of affirmations about like my life and where I'm at in my life with like confirming where I am without being in the sense of, because the problem is if you're feeling anxious and you're like, oh, I'm fucking anxious and you're like, I'm good. My life is good. It doesn't really help.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to practice those things proactively, not just reactively to anxiety.
Right. Because meditation is something that interests me too, because
it'll change your life.
Yeah, man. But what does that mean? So like there's different forms of it though. So
hold
like,
on. We got to go back to this story. Go. All right.
And by the way, too, I'm very, as you can tell, the Full Send Podcast, I'm very good, bad at switching topics. And as you can tell, I just did it then.
It's all good. So anyways, I'm with my boy Brandon, and this is like a brother to me, this guy. And I trusted him to do this with. So I took my first time, I took a bunch of mushrooms, and I remember we were at Islands Burger. You know the burgers, Islands?
I don't know, but
burger spot.
It's a burger spot.
And like, so we're sitting down, and I'm like, I don't really know how this is going to be because it's my first time. Again, I took like 3.5, almost 4 grams, which is a good amount. Like raw mushrooms, chewed them up. These taste like shit. Swallow them. An hour goes by to like an hour and a half, and then I'm like, oh shit, I start feeling this up. We start walking. I'm in Islands, and my boy Brandon's sitting right across from me. And the guy comes up. He goes, hey, you guys want to order? And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, the guy's there. And I'm like, I like go like this. I'm like to Brandon, even though the guy's right here. I'm like, can you order for me? I can't deal with it right now. Like, because I couldn't. Like,
what was going through your head, though? Why couldn't you order?
Okay, I'll tell you. So he comes up to ask, because he's someone who's, I don't know this person, obviously. Brandon didn't know him either. But my reaction to some people that I don't know just in general, this is in retrospect. I can tell you this now. I'm always hesitant of people because of my issues with trust, right? So as soon as this guy pulls up, I'm like, I don't fucking know this guy. Like my inner psyche's like judging this guy for no reason.
And just, you wouldn't have had that same reaction if you weren't on mushrooms.
I don't think I would. No, okay. If I wasn't on mushrooms, I'd just be like, yeah, I'll take a fucking Kilauea burger, okay, whatever the fuck it is, right?
So go back.
So I'm going back. I'm like, all right, yo, can you order for me? Because like, I can't do this. And then he's like, yeah, I got you. No worries. And he starts to order. But then the guy's like, do you want this or what do you want that? And then I'm like, I'm starting to feel overwhelmed just because like I just didn't want to have that connection with the guy. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't aware of like the effect of mushrooms now was like it was amplifying. And I was like, it starts to feel.
What's physically happening to you when that's happening?
Nothing. But mentally, my perception, like nothing. I'm sitting in a stall across from my boy trying to order a burger. That's what's physically happening. Mm-hmm. Mentally, I start to feel like almost like my vision and the walls are kind of closing in on me. And I'm like, yo, I'm getting really uncomfortable. And I told my boy, I said, yo, I'm going to go outside.
That's my fear.
All right. So. But this is the crazy thing, man. My mind was doing it to itself because I'm going to tell you, this is where it comes full circle. I go outside. I'm sitting down. I never end up getting the burger. I think Brandon ended up just leaving because he's like, I just got to go check on my boy. And he comes up to me and he's like, yo, what's going on? And I was like, yo, I just can't. I couldn't be in there. Like, I felt like the fucking walls are closing in on me. Like, everything was getting dark. I was getting afraid. And he's like, oh, you'll be good. And so right when he said, oh, you'll be good, I was like, oh, okay, I think I will start to be good. He said, come over here. We'll go get these drinks. It was like a quickie mart, like 7-Eleven type thing. And he goes, I'm going to get you some. You'll be great. And so I follow him, and I'm trusting him because this is, like I said, don't do this with someone unless you trust someone to do this with.
So you can't do mushrooms with somebody unless you don't know, unless you're completely 100% comfortable with the person.
100%. Yeah. So then he brings me an Arizona iced tea, you know, like the $1 ones, the big tall cans. And he's like, trust me, drink this. You'll be good. As soon as I cracked that thing open, and in my mind now, I'm just giving you perspective. I've convinced myself, this is the thing with mushrooms. They make you realize how powerful your thoughts are and your words are that you tell yourself and that you hear, right? Mm-hmm. So he gives me this thing. And so already I'm thinking like, I'm going to be good once I drink this because he told me and I trust him.
Yeah.
Right. So I crack it open. I start to drink it and I'm like, oh, this is good. And the second that I said good,
the whole new change.
My whole world like started to light up where I was like, holy fuck. And so in that moment, I'm really high on mushrooms now at this point. In that same exact moment, I was like, wait a sec. My mind connected the dot. I was like, so if I said the word bad, and I thought this to myself, would I feel bad? And the minute I thought it to myself and the minute I said it out loud, the word bad, I started to instantly feel bad.
Yeah, because that's why I think I wouldn't be able to do it because I think,
bro, but you can do it.
But my brain always goes towards bad.
But I understand that. Mine did too, but now it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the first time you ever do it, you need to take a big ass macro.
Work your way up.
Take a small amount and understand what if, because I swear to God, this thing will fix this shit.
Is it addictive? Is it not something that you do and you want to keep doing?
Not at all.
Not at all.
This will fucking fix you. I'm not saying take macro doses all the time, every day. I'm saying like, if you could figure out the amount, a small amount to take, like it start with a very, very, like even less than a micro dose, you'll be like, oh, I didn't feel anything. You'll take a little bit more and you'll be like, oh, okay, I felt more open. I felt more aware. I felt more like just ready to listen, ready to talk, ready
to hear. You hear horror stories about it though sometimes too.
Well, that's because they're taking way too much.
Right.
And they're in a really shit setting.
So do you know any people that have horror stories, that anybody you know that have really bad horror? Because I've heard of people like jumping out of windows.
Yeah,
and
I've never heard of stuff like that. I've heard of horror stories, but I've never actually known someone that like that actually happened to them. Mm-hmm. My best advice for this is like there are people who do stuff like this who like take you on mushroom journeys or ayahuasca, you know, trips or journeys like in Peru and all these places or even just locally here in LA. You can find someone and they just guide you through it and they'll give you a certain amount that like you can take without getting to that level and then you can take a little more and you could, because you could gauge it. You could still gauge it.
But
I swear to God, I'm telling you this, Bob, I think if you did this,
it might be good.
It would change your life.
Cool, because the ayahuasca shit too is interesting. Because I know my buddy talked to me about the ayahuasca, and he said that when you take that, you have to go. Like he went to like this fucking middle of nowhere tribe, and he was telling me, and I don't know nothing about this. Be interested in your opinion on it. He was like telling me through this journey about how he went there, and it's like this whole ritual, and there's all these people like fucking just. Have you ever done the ayahuasca?
I haven't. So that's a whole different level, right? So like if we're talking about you doing mushrooms like entry level.
Here I was thinking I was telling a success story and just all this.
Yeah, mushrooms is entry level.
Thinking about like, I was trying to get Buffalo Wild Wings back.
Yeah, that shit, dude, is like, that's the thing that your body releases like when you die, you know? Okay. It's the so that for me is very scary. That's why me knowing that makes me avoid it because I'm so fucking afraid of death. And I've gotten more comfortable with it as I've gotten older, but that's my biggest anxiety is my fear of death.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of dying.
Why not? I want to know this.
Because I've accomplished all my goals, and it's just it's inevitable.
I just feel like I haven't done enough. That's how I genuinely feel.
You've done enough. You've done enough. You're well known. You have everything going for you. You're not made enough money. You're fucking good. It's I always try. I don't set the bar. I don't care about, like, you know, a lot of people chase 100 million, 200 million, 300 million, for whatever. It's I think it's just about, for me at least, I can only speak for myself, is just I'm just so about the game.
Yeah.
I don't even care.
But that's what I'd miss. Like, for me, it's not so much the money. It's more like I know that I've had, like, the way in which I was able to make money, I've been grateful enough over the years that it's been through a means of, like, yeah, I did, like, the crazy shit on the internet here and there. But, like, when the people who are really supporting me and I'm seeing and I'm talking to those people in person at, like, expos or events, or they come to my gym, they're always telling me something really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, I watched this video and you changed my life. Or I saw the podcast and I appreciate what you're talking about. And mm-hmm. these things are making me think about this, this possibility for my own life. And for years, you know, before I ever did the podcast, I did content on YouTube where I talked about my father and the passing of my father when I was young and how I dealt with it and how it pushed me to be the person I am, the man mm-hmm. that I am today. And having those reactions with people who they're telling me, yo, when I saw this, I didn't kill myself.
It's the best.
And that's the thing that I want.
I love that.
I want to give as much as possible. That's what I feel like.
I talked to Kid Off Suicide. I talked to Kid Off Suicide fucking a month ago. I got a DM from this motherfucker. Not motherfucker. Excuse me. Sorry.
Oh, it's all good.
I got a DM from this fucking kid. And I just, you know, you get a lot of DMs.
Yeah.
You know, it depends what the content you're posting. But, like, you know, you get a lot of DMs. And I just scrolled through. And this guy was just like, this kid was like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I can't leave this on fucking red. I just can't leave it. So yeah. I responded. I said, is this a real inquiry? And he was just basically like, you know, I think he said something like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what's your cell phone number? Because I was like, fuck it. And so I picked up the cell phone and I called him out of the blue and FaceTimed him. And he was like broken down, crying, fucking yeah. whatever. And the reason, you know, back to your point of just like the power, believe it or not, of like what we have is amazing, because you never know what you can change somebody's life. And I've been communicating with this kid, you know, for a while now. Sometimes it gets a little, you know, he's hitting me up a lot now, but at the end of the day, it was a real thing. And, you know, yeah, that's why I always love to engage with everybody. Like, I am a DM assassin.
Yeah.
I will go and I will talk to every single, if you're dumb and you're fucking stupid and you're offering dumbass, like, criticism that's dumb, that offers no value, that's not really there. If somebody gives me constructive criticism, I'm open to it. I'll sit down and be like, well, why do you think
for
that?
Sure.
How can I get better? How can I do that? But if a bunch of people are just blasting dumb, saying dumb shit, you ignore it.
But yes, that's what I'm saying, man. It's just, I feel like the responsibility I have is so, it's greater than me at this point. Like, I have I have so many stories like that. I have one specifically with this guy who was going to help me building the gym out in Austin. But this guy, he was on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
on Twitter. And the guy's like, something talking about killing himself. And another fan of mine messages me and says, yo, you should try to talk to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to reply to him. And I did.
You should.
And this guy was like, telling to me, like, you don't know about, you know, where I am, and you have all this stuff, and like, he sees where I'm at, right? But not where I've been.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, you know, it's not always that simple. And I have this conversation. Now, keep in mind, this is me replying to a Twitter message, and I'm taking off to Brazil. Mm-hmm. So my last message with this guy was like, give it more time. Trust me. Like, it's going to be okay. You'll see the light,
mm-hmm.
right? This guy now, I've known for years
mm-hmm.
since I went to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
He sends me pictures of himself with his daughter, because this guy was going to kill himself.
So
he's going to take pills in a bathroom. And he's like, yo, my daughter has a father because of you.
Now, it's hard too, because then you have to filter out, you know, at the end of the day, you have to filter out what's real and not. Hopefully you catch up stuff. And what I did was I caught this kid and I was right. And I looked at the right time. My biggest fucking pet peeve in the world is this. Do you know what I fucking hate more than anything?
What?
Is fucking bullies.
Yeah.
I fucking hate people that get bullied in school. Kids that fucking bully people are the biggest fucking, I was never bullied in my life at all, but people that fucking bully people, I think, are the biggest fucking pussies on planet Earth.
Hands down.
And I there was some person online whose son, I felt so bad. I clicked on the article. This fucking 14-year-old kid killed himself, hung himself inside of his room because he was bullied in school. And you got to think to yourself, because you have a younger audience or whatever, and this is a message you should instill with people. It's like, if you bully somebody, you are the biggest pussy on fucking planet Earth.
Hands down. Especially at that age. Especially at that age.
At any fucking age.
I mean, like, if I bully you, it's different.
We're business together. We do.
You're my boy,
together,
you know?
But you don't. And you see, it's never, the problem is, you only can hope to, like, put out a message and hope that somebody listens. Because if I put it out there, or you put it out there, and we talk about it, hopefully one, two, three people will fucking listen to it and right. change their ways. But anybody that does any sort of thing, if you see somebody getting fucking bullied in school, you're an absolute fucking pussy if you don't stick up for that fucking kid.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's one thing, one point that I always like to make, because I'm so anti that shit, because it pisses me the fuck off. Sorry, I had to say that.
No, it's fine, dude.
I had to say that.
So have you had any other interactions with people where you're like, you feel like you've gotten like real fulfillment in it, like purpose? Because that's the reason why, like, I have this, again, if we're talking about my fear of death, mm-hmm. well, as an overall topic, I was just, I don't know, like you said, I feel like I have this responsibility. We have this responsibility to talk about these kind of things.
Right.
And I feel like now it's so much greater than when it was then, mm-hmm. that it's like, that's where my fear is derived from, is like, I don't want to not be able to have these sort of conversations that actually help change, because mm-hmm. it's not as relevant as it is. Like, not everyone is using their massive platforms, like rappers and all these people, they're not being like, yo, let's talk about some shit that really matters, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not their brand, or it's mm-hmm. not their whatever.
By helping people, though, it could be as simple as this, because you don't want to get overwhelmed with it too much, because everybody is going to DM Bradley Martin, everybody's going to DM Kyle, and everybody's going to be like, I need this, I want this, I feel like this way, I'm depressed, I need that stuff. The best thing you can do, if you can't address every situation,
yeah.
is just take the time to, which you guys do, and you do a great job at it, is like, when somebody comes up to you and says hello, fucking says what up, spend a minute with them, talk to them, see, you know, it makes people's day.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And just fucking, that's what I try and do, is I'll anytime I run into somebody, I ask about how they're doing, ask about their fucking life. You know, we're in a privileged spot right now. We have a lot of, we're cool. Like, everybody would fucking love to be in the situation we're in right now.
Yeah.
We're known by a lot of people. We make great money and whatnot. So I always look at it as every situation I go to, I'm hosting. So if fans, whatever the fuck you want to call it, come up to me and talk to me, I'm hosting the situation. I always want to act like I'm hosting. And I think that's been one of my better qualities in life, and why I've been able to, you know, have the connections that I have with so many people, is I never look at it like I'm walking to the club, like Bob gets taken care of. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm taking care of everybody. I want to be the host.
Do you have any beef with anyone?
Dave Portnoy is the only one who I really have beef with. And
really?
Portnoy, and I respect with Dave. I hate him.
Where did this start?
With the Portnoy beef?
Yeah.
I've never really spoken after that. After it happened, I've never spoken the Portnoy stuff, but because I kind of just put it in the back and just continued to.
What happened?
Dave, it started off.
Was he jealous of your voice or what?
No, I think Dave, I mean, to be honest, Dave's done an incredible job. He's built an empire.
He has.
You know, he's built an empire. Dave's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I remember going to Dave Portnoy's apartment back in the day and being like, I want to go to Bridgewater State to do this. I was like, I don't know. He was in a small apartment with T-shirts everywhere.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I showed him all these YouTube videos that I'd done. He's like, you're funny. You're a funny kid. So I walked in and I was like, you know, I want to go to these different colleges and shoot content. He's like, go. Yeah. And he gave me a bunch of shirts and shit to give away. And I, you know, it's funny. I hate the fact that me and Dave have a better relationship.
Yeah.
I really, really do. But I think that Dave never really lets, I don't know, never really lets us go, because he's still talking shit about me.
What happened, though?
What happened was, then we went to Bridgewater State. This was like, I was 20.
Oh, shit.
Or something. Like, really, really young. I don't remember the exact day. Don't quote me on that. But I'm saying, went out there, had all these T-shirts, was giving them out. I brought this camera crew. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but I was like trying to shoot content. And then we went there, and like, a bunch of people like accused us of doing like Girls Gone Wild shit, trying to get people making out. And he got a little backlash from it. He got a bunch of emails and whatever. And he basically, like, I think we communicated and we're like, he's like, yo, I got to write this article. I think, I don't know if he said, I don't want to like misquote anything with Dave, because he'll fucking run it and blast it. But he was just basically like, yo, I got to address this. And then he kind of addressed it in a way that sucked. That was like, Bob was doing all this stuff with women and shit like that, and like trying to get girls to make out and stuff, which is not the case. You know, I did bring four knuckleheads with me that were part of my crew were just like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but, you know, nobody was doing anything dumb. And so he just wrote an article about me. It became this big thing. And then I just kind of fucked with it, and it was like challenging to fucking fights, and went in and said, hey, I'd love to, you know, maybe work for you. And he offered me a job for X amount of dollars, and I just countered with a different number. And then he didn't do it, and then just kind of said fuck off, and then talked about, you know, my sister and my family and all that stuff, and which was fine. But at the end of the day,
No,
because I was like, when I went in there, like, bro, I was still at the point where I was wearing at Bob Menery on my sweatshirt.
Damn.
So I was looking for opportunity. I used to wear that sweatshirt every day at Bob Menery.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest fucking loser in the world.
Ah,
like
fuck
wearing
it.
My own name on the shirt. But I remember weighing in, seeing the office, me and Dave started talking about, you know, working for him and stuff, and took a picture. And I was like, my sister would love this. She's a big like fan of all this shit. And then, you know, when shit kind of went south, I forget exactly how it said at that moment, but, yeah, then he like blasted my, because I don't believe that you should ever use screenshots of text conversations ever.
Wait, he put screenshots out of your shit?
Yeah, he put screenshots out of my private conversations.
I thought that's illegal.
Whatever it is, I'm not going. You know, but I just don't think morally. I just don't. That's not my style.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? We'll handle things the way we handle things. You know, like behind. But I also then to contradict myself, I did was like, you know, I'll fucking fight you for $1 million, and
would you? What?
Brett said your boy Ernie's outside. He's probably good, but he can just chill. We don't have to do anything with him.
You sure?
It's up to you, but yeah, we're good.
I mean,
we want to backpedal to it, but he can tell his version, but we already hit that. It's up to you.
Okay.
So, but no, long story short, I'll be honest with you. I really have no problem with Dave Portnoy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
But would fight him for $1 million.
I mean, if there's one guy I would fight, I think I would fight Portnoy.
Damn, that'd be sick.
No, but like he wouldn't do it because he said he wouldn't do it because of his shoulders. But like I would do it just for like, just for fun.
How tall is Portnoy?
He's got a couple inches on me. I'm a little guy. I'm 5'7". But I would, I like, dude, I'm telling you, man, like there's just so much room for everybody to eat.
Of course.
And I think that so many people get so competitive. You see like impulsive, like throwing shots at us right now about like, oh, the number one podcast. It's like, dude, bro, that just, it's, I don't even look at that.
I mean, this is the number one podcast. Just everyone just doesn't know.
I
mean, yet,
bro, I hope it know? Is. I hope it is.
Exactly.
Let's just outwork each other and see who gets there. Like, it doesn't matter. There's so much room to eat for everybody to eat. You know, and so, but I really want to say this, that I don't really have a problem with Portnoy.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, and he's way bigger than I am, and he's built a way bigger empire than I have, and I respect that.
Yeah.
And I think that we could have done some great shit together. Luckily enough, I was able to partner up with Kyle and John and all those guys who are fucking geniuses, and wouldn't change it for the world. But I have no problem with Dave. I'd love Dave to come to the Full Send podcast and settle all our shit.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
You know,
that'd be good.
But Dave would never do it.
What about having Logan on?
I love Logan.
Yeah.
I fucking love, and I, everybody's like, oh, you love everybody. I'm like, no, I do.
Yeah.
I have no problems with
it. Logan's a dope dude. He really
Dave's
is.
The only guy. Dustin Johnson, too, was one that I have another one beef with.
Dustin Johnson? Who the fuck is that?
The golfer.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's not. That's
what
not,
the fuck?
I've told that story so many times.
Yeah, fuck that story.
Fuck that story.
What do you think about the number one podcast in the world beef with the Logan Paul and them?
I mean.
Like, what shots are they throwing?
I don't even look at it.
What shots are they throwing?
No, well, they were, I mean, on their last episode. Well, first of all, George Jankus, what's his name, Jankus?
Janko.
Jankison?
Janko.
Janko. No disrespect, George. I don't really know your shit. I'm sorry. Sure you do well. But, you know, he threw one shot at us. Like, we're not fake like the Nelk boys. It's like.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah, but I'm like.
But did he say, wasn't that the whole, was that the Island Boy thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think that was a minute ago.
That was a while ago. But then more recently. Logan, and by the way, Mike is fucking the man. I love Mike.
Yeah.
Love Logan. Always, I was just at the Super Bowl. Both of them saw them. I fucking love both those guys. Yeah. I want them to have the most success in the world. They're killing it.
Yeah.
Like outside of just the podcast world too.
Of course.
You know? I mean, they just made a comment that was like, you know, so we're the number one podcast, right? No, because Kyle, we keep saying we're the number one podcast. So it's not real beef. It's just like,
of course.
It's playful, but at the same time, it's just who's going to fucking outwork who.
Yeah, of course.
That's it.
Of course.
Like, but I guess beef sells nowadays.
Beef, yeah.
Like this Jake
Paul. Beef's really good. Tastes good.
I
love beef.
I fucking hate beef.
Do you really?
Yes. I like the beef that you eat. I don't like the other beef.
Yeah?
Yes.
So you wouldn't fight Portnoy? You wouldn't fight Logan?
I would fight Dave just for fun.
Not Logan, though. Probably not Logan.
I mean, I'd get my ass kicked. I'd get my ass kicked by Dave. I don't know. I would just do it. Whatever.
I think
fun.
you and Portnoy would be a good match. I think we should make that happen.
I mean, Dave would never do it. He said his shoulder. He said something about his shoulder last time. And by the way, I'm the most out of shape. It would have to be a 15-second fight because my cardio would be done.
Yeah.
I could do it. But that was like if you Google back in the day the Portnoy Menery thing, you can see the shit that went on for a brief moment. But they're doing a good job, dude, over Barstool. They're killing it. But
oh, who's your guys' next guest?
Our next guest is going to be Rick Ross.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys, you already did it.
We already, and by the way, one of the greatest interviews ever because Rick,
The guy's funny, huh?
Bro, it was the funniest fucking episode of all time. He wouldn't share his blunt.
The whole time?
No, and he kept talking about fucking my girl.
Did he fuck your girl?
Did Rick Ross fuck my girl?
Yeah.
No, and he has no fucking chance, because I tell you what, believe it or not, I got some powerful connections, Rick.
Shut the fuck
Listen,
up.
I can't talk about it on record.
Stupid.
But I got some, let's just say we know your whereabouts at all times without you knowing. I don't care if that cell phone is off.
He was talking about fucking your girl on the podcast?
Yeah, he has this fucking bull, Egypt.
Egypt.
Egypt. Yeah, he got two bulls gifted to him. And he has these two bulls, and I was fucking with him, obviously, and something came up with Summer, and he's like talking about Summer riding the bull, and it just kept it, you'll see the episode. It's just,
yeah, I can't wait.
Rick was being a little bit of a wise ass. And then he FaceTimed Summer and was macking on her and just
Yo, this is too funny.
Yeah, it was just
We'll see it. So with the podcast.
And then
stuff,
Caitlyn Jenner's after that.
Oh shit.
I believe, and I don't know, you can talk to Kyle and them if you want to release that, but I don't know if that's public knowledge or how Kyle wants to do that. But yeah, Caitlyn Jenner.
That's fucking dope.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we are going after the biggest people in the world. That's what's good about this group is we.
So I have a question on that.
Go ahead.
When you get all the biggest people in the world, then what?
What the end goal of the podcast is?
No. After you get them all, what do you continue on the podcast? So say you had an interview with this would take time, but you know, you hit everyone. You had Joe Rogan, you had Caitlyn, you had fucking Kim, you had Khan, you had all these biggest people in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what kind of episodes do you do?
I think we always are going to continuously hit the biggest people in the world.
But you're just going to keep going through them?
Every single episode will not let you down. That's our mentality, because when one of us is like doing some shit, I take over and I'll get somebody.
Yeah.
And then when I'm a little bit fucked up or if I'm having a relationships problem, my girl crying in the fetal position, Kyle and John will take over. And so, you know, I'm like the guest assassin too, you know?
Yeah.
I take an Adderall in the morning if I want to, and I will get to you, baby.
I love it. Let's talk about Steiny.
Oh, yeah.
I love this. Look at you. Look at how he switched up.
Is there Ernie here, by the way?
Yeah, I love how he switched up.
He can pop in, but not whatever it is.
So,
what? What do you want to know about Steiny? The guy, 2 years. Let me tell you the time I met Steiny.
Tell us.
Okay.
Bob Mettery met Steiny.
By the way, right now, Steiny is.
Holy shit.
Rocking out gold chains.
Shout out Steve Will Do It LLC.
Shout out Steve Will Do It LLC for taking that cocksucker off my hands.
Yeah.
And walking gold chains or whatever. That wasn't in the Mentory camp. None of that shit happened.
So how'd you meet him?
So Brian Zuriff, producer, created Tiger, filled a match, whatever. I was looking for a guy. I was starting to grow a little bit. I needed a right-hand guy.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little bit ADHD. I can't control. I needed somebody.
Yeah.
So I had interviews at Gold Cafe. So I had some different people come in. And so Aaron was one of them.
You never met him prior to this?
Never met him prior to that. He was referred to by BZ.
Okay.
So Aaron,
BZ.
BZ, Brian Zuriff.
Okay.
Walks in.
That sounds like a little,
this is pre-chains.
That's a Steiny walk-in for sure.
Yeah, but more of like big pussy.
Like
at the time. Hey, man, how you doing? Nice to meet you, Bob. Nice to meet you.
Even more hesitant.
Like just pussy.
Okay.
So I'm like, take a seat. Are you okay? Do you need something? Take a seat. So I sit down, then we start talking. I'm like, so here's the deal. This is my life. This is what I got going on. Like, what's your deal? Like, I need somebody 24/7 around the clock to do whatever the fuck I need.
Yeah.
There's no room for error. Just, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, well, I started talking. Then finally he said, you know, I used to run an underground poker game. And that's where I was like, all right, interesting. I like shark. I like street hustlers. And so we started talking. Boom, boom. He leaves. I like that dude. I call him.
What did you like about him?
I liked his. What you see now.
You saw glimpses of it.
His dad, I mean, it runs in the bloodline. His dad's one of the best defense attorneys in the world.
Right.
He's got that fucking, Aaron's smart. Aaron's very crafty.
Very smart.
But listen, I'll tell you what. That motherfucker went through Mentory camp and fucking learned a lot. So don't let him fucking ever tell you differently. But he, I called that night. His first mission was at 2 a.m. I said, you got to get me an Adderall right now. You got 15 minutes. Find one. And he came through.
Really?
And so then I just kind of was just like, I have a terrible memory. I think I'm the youngest person with Alzheimer's, by the way.
How many years ago was this?
I don't remember. 2, 3. I don't remember. Life's a fucking blur.
Yeah.
And so, but he started working for me and I had that motherfucker. Like you see him with 42 Doug now. You see him with whatever. If Aaron like missed a fucking phone call, if he missed a fucking thing, he would be scrubbing literally my floors with a fucking toothbrush.
He doesn't do that now. He misses a lot of stuff.
No, he's driving around Lambos because Steve fucking spoils the fucking kid.
Yeah.
But Aaron's done a good job. He's built himself up. He's doing a good job in the fucking podcast, too. Aaron's a good addition in the podcast. But Aaron's earned his keep. Aaron was a straight hustler who never, like, just always up, always down, has the mind.
Yeah.
Like, Aaron's going to fucking crush it in life. But he's a rat.
I think I was the first person who gave him a chance on the internet, though.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that shit.
Like on the whole social thing, like putting him on, and then everyone being like, "Wait, this dude's really fucking funny." Because we put him in our videos first, and then he was like, "Now he's like all over this shit."
Yeah, I mean, he's done a good little job of
finagling,
weaseling his way in.
That's why we always give him the jokes. Where it's like he's just gonna someday he's gonna dip on Steve and have like a fucking Steiny will do it,
which would be fine. Which you know,
I would Steve would be pissed. I think I'd be pissed.
He takes care of Steve.
Yeah.
He takes care. He's there.
He does.
He takes care of Steve. Like, we had him. We were like, "Yo, we need you to take Rick Ross. We need you now." He's like, "Steve, my priority." Then he stole Brett, my guy, and fucking put him on to Steve's shit. And I'm just like,
"Wait, Brett? Brett works over there now?"
Nah, Brett works for me. So Brett's my 24. Brett's seen some shit.
Yeah.
Brett's seen some shit.
So no, I like Brett. I like Brett a lot.
Brett's a hustler. He's just got to, like, bro, I break people down mentally. If you're my guy, I have one guy that I travel with all the time. Small team.
Yeah.
But he's there 24/7. He has seen me during the darkest times and some of the whatever, greatest times. But my dark times are pretty fucking, I go dark sometimes, you know?
Yeah. So. What are the darkest times? Some of the darkest times. Reminds me of Jacob. Jacob's always with me.
Darkest times, no drugs, but, you know, probably like blind shut in a hotel room for like 3 days straight, having some cocktails. Working and I don't know. I don't want to get into too much. I know I told you I would tell you the darkest things.
You did. Now you're going backwards.
The darkest things in the world. I mean, that's why I made every, I don't know.
Brett, now you're fucking pussying out right now?
Not pussying out. I want to find the right.
Okay. Shit. Well, take some time. Think about it for a little bit. You're not going to give me all the answers right away.
Yeah.
Maybe go with the one that's like not as dark.
Maybe we'll revert back.
We can come back
to
that one.
Figure a way to segue back to it, because but there's been, I go dark sometimes.
Dark in what sense? Like
dark and where I get so much like just anxiety and craziness and like just is going on in my life and I shut away. So I will just shut away from everything. Like, you know, I'll still do my shit and posting dumb shit like on the stories which don't matter and all that shit, but I'll just go away in a room and just be by myself and don't want to see anybody or talk to anybody.
Yeah,
because it is kind of crazy. You know, you think about it, like. Everywhere we go now, you can't go anywhere, which I have no problem with, but you can't take one step and people don't come up to you and say like something to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes if you're in a weird state of mind, it fucks with your head. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not that I don't want to talk to everybody or whatever, but sometimes it's just times you just choose not to go out.
Yeah.
Not like I'm fucking Will Smith or Justin Bieber here, but you know, it's just,
no, I get it.
It sometimes can be overwhelming.
So you're not going to tell us some of the darkest times?
I can. I mean,
see, well, we can just cut it if you don't want to put it on.
I mean, if I just call Brett right now, I'll just ask him like, what was the darkest?
Yo, Brett. So I'm sitting here with Bob. This is obviously, you know, that's Bob.
Yeah, you're good.
What is the darkest that you've seen Bob in, and why was he there?
Brett, you see what you're already doing wrong? You got to fucking run it by me before you open your mouth. Look at me, Brett. I give you approval. What do you think was the darkest time that you've seen me in?
Darkest time, go ahead.
Darkest time I've been in Chicago.
Chicago, tell us about Chicago.
That's Bob. Can I tell it?
Well, nothing involving anybody's names, but probably the whole. Yeah, you can tell it, but no names.
No names.
Bob broke up with the girlfriend. They got into a big fight, and he spent like 3 days. Zapping away in the room by himself.
What was he doing though?
Gambling.
He does this thing where he just walks around. He doesn't sleep, and he works on his phone.
And he was gambling too.
And he just gambles on horses the
whole time. I was gambling on horses.
How much money did you lose or win
on that day? I don't know. I probably lost $1 million in my lifetime gambling.
Really? Fuck, dude, that's tough.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's the game. We'll make it back.
But I gave you permission to answer this without Bob's consent. What's the shittiest part about working for Bob?
I can't say.
No. You can
say
answer
it.
You can answer that. What's the shittiest part?
Probably the shittiest part I'd be being up for 4 days sometimes straight.
Fuck.
Well, he's on my sleep schedule. That's the thing. So like Brett, fuck. What's great about Brett is the hardest working guy in the world that he's never not picked up my call.
Yeah.
So if I'm up doing it, because my sleep schedule, his sleep schedule.
Yeah.
So like he has to stay up 3 days in a row. If I stay up 3 days in a row, because I won't allow it. If I call him at three and doesn't answer, it's like back to Fall River, kid.
Back
you
to
get
Fall
the opportunity of a lifetime.
All right, I'm gonna hang up on you. I appreciate you,
Brett. Love you.
Thank you. So you, do you have to have people in your camp that are like that?
I don't really have a camp. I mean,
you're a guy. You're one guy.
I have one guy that I just trust and I roll with. That's it.
And what is his main function? Like, what does he mostly do for you? Like, is it like scheduling?
Scheduling, folding my laundry, making sure my bag is packed, making sure my plane tickets are perfect,
yeah,
making sure managing my relationship if I get in a fucking fight, making sure I don't go off the fucking deep end with anything.
Damn.
Making sure I fucking stay focused and whatever.
Damn. That's why he does that? He's the guy, bro.
He's my guy.
Wait, I have a question then.
Yes.
So if I chime in, relationship, how so? How does he help
you? Yeah,
how is
he helping you with relationship?
So, at any time, relationship-wise is, well, first of all, I'm pretty smart here with some stuff. So, Brett and Summer are best friends. So,
I see where you're going with this.
When I gotta do some shit, Brett loves to hang out with their best friend.
Of course.
And so, he takes care of Summer, and Summer loves hanging out with him. And, but he also, Brett's got me out of a lot of times where he's like, dude, like, if I'm slipping, he'll pull me back in. And I met him randomly. He DM'd me. It was just like, that's how I met him. That's
like,
actually,
I want to work for you.
Yeah. He just kept pounding me. And then he's like, fine. I don't know. I was just in a mood where I was just like, just come to Nashville then. I was like, just fly out. He's like, yeah. When? I'm like, now. Book your own ticket. I'm not paying for shit. Just come out and meet me. This is the Airbnb. I want you to get me this place. Take care of it. Whatever. Following labor laws just so well here.
So well. So yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. But so I'm just like,
do it.
Yeah,
they get paid later.
Just do it. Yeah. We'll figure it out later.
Whatever.
1 year program. That's what he's on.
Yeah.
And then so, I just meet him at the fucking Airbnb, and he fucking he waited there for 2 days because I didn't show up, so he was just
why'd you not show up?
I had shit I had to do.
Okay.
So his first night working for me, we go to bed. I just walked in the door. I'm like, what's going on? How you doing? And then I'm like, I'm going to bed. Good night. Get a good night's sleep. We gotta be up early in the morning for our shit. Let's see what you got, kid. Like, I'll give you a little run.
Yeah.
You wanna fuck with me? Let's go. Let's see what you got. But I'm like, there's no mistakes.
But he knew he was coming in as like full time guy.
No, he just had no idea. He was just coming as a friend.
Okay.
He was just coming as a friend. And so he goes to sleep. I wake him up 2 hours later. I'm like, yo, Morgan Wallen, we're going to kick it with Morgan right now. We gotta do some shit. We're going to this place and go to see Morgan Wallen. So we get up. Brett gets completely fucking toasted with Morgan because I told him to take care of Morgan, but Morgan kept like, pouring shots.
Yes.
With whatever.
Oh no.
And
he pulled a Steiny.
He pulled a Steiny, but guess what I did?
What?
And this was 2 days in. I pulled him aside and I said, here's the deal. I said, I like you, Brett, for some reason. I said, I want you to, I actually do fuck with you. I'm going to give you a chance, but here's the deal. You're never, cause my driver took pictures of him and passed out in the back seat.
Fuck.
Sent it to me. And I was like, thank you. I said, here's the deal. I don't tolerate this in my camp. It's fucking Marine discipline. And I said, I'm going to give you, though, incentive. I'm going to give you $10,000 if you can do 30 days without drinking starting today. I want you to work for me. This is after meeting for 48 hours. I get attached to people, whatever. And he did it. 30 days. He's been with me. He's been the fucking best addition to my life. Brett has helped me a lot. So,
fuck Steiny then, right?
I love Steiny too, though.
Yeah, I'm fucking with you.
I love Steiny.
I do love Steiny.
He's such a little wise fuck. The only thing I don't like about Steiny is he opens his mouth too much.
But yeah, different personality.
Yeah, but he does. He's just got to keep his fucking mouth
shut. Like bite back a little bit.
I'm not mad at the bite back. It's just like I don't believe in really talking about people if they're not in the room. And then I do it occasionally, but if you're not in the room, don't talk about them.
Yeah, I get it. So before we get off this, what is some like?
How long has this been, by the way? I feel like
I don't know. We just run it.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, I just go.
I have no problem.
Zero fucking schedule. Anyways,
I'm in the mood to hit fucking 6 hour traffic on the way back here. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of like the most, I guess, based on your successes and your miscomings in life?
Yeah.
What are some real life advice? Like, there's just like two things. You don't have to it doesn't have to be the most important thing, but two things that you think are really important in your success, have been important in your success, mm-hmm. and can be really relevant and important for other people's listening success.
Don't waste your time asking people that are bigger than you that have more things going on that you need to, that you want to be involved with without figuring out immediate value, and don't waste your bullet. In a sense of you when you fuck with people, like say, like I want to meet Gary Vee, right?
Yeah.
Go to Gary immediately with value. And don't just go in openly and be like, yo, I want an opportunity, whatever.
Right.
And then also, if you want to just stick by, my mentality is, you know, I had value because I was growing and I was having these numbers. So I could go to these athletes and whatever. And now with the Full Send podcast, we can go to them and be like, hey, come on our show because we offer value.
Of course.
But also, I'm also not against the hungry kid that, like, somebody comes up to me and is like, yo, I want to work for you. I'm like, all right, cool. Call me every day for the next fucking 20 days at 5 a.m., not a minute late, and call me every single day. I'm probably not going to pick up your phone call, but I'll see it. And so just, I think just persistence is key.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to ask for opportunity. And it's up to you whether or not, if you can do it without offering value, great. But don't be afraid to just hammer away. And also, figure out what your end goal is and whatever you want to do in life. Figure out who's doing that. The top five people in the game, right? Yeah. Say you want to be whatever. Find the top five people. They're accessible. And then go to them through 6 degrees of separation, through this person falls, this person, this fall. How can I get to this person? It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
And then fucking figure out how you can get to them. And then...
That's what you're an expert at, you think, though.
That's my expertise. I believe
how did you get good at it then? Like, if someone could be like, I hear that. I see you saying mm-hmm. that. I don't know how to be good at that. How did you get good at it?
I got good at it by looking at the person that I wanted to get to, utilizing social media, seeing if I knew an immediate person that was connected to them. And then also, if not, going to somebody that I didn't know and figuring a way to get to the person that this is here to here to here to here to get to that person.
Makes sense.
If it does, I don't know if it does or not.
Yeah, no, it does.
The scotch is kicking in a little bit, but
yeah, you're good.
At
you're
the
good.
Same time.
Let's get some fucking audience questions.
Sounds good.
So
you do audience questions?
We do audience questions.
No way. Yeah. I've had a great time with you, by the way, Bradley. I'm glad we get to finally do this. You're a good man. I really look up to what you're doing. You're killing it. So
I appreciate it, man.
It's good shit.
You too.
What is audience questions?
So audience questions is at the end of every episode, we will answer like 3 or 4 questions that the audience just gives us. You guys can go to askrawtalk@gmail.com. Send us your question. Natalie's going to pick a few of those questions and then just ask us. And we just fucking, you know, we just.
And they do it right now?
Do it right now. Yeah. She'll have them. She'll have them.
Sweet. Sweet, 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 sweet.
So yeah. This question says, do you have any advice or experience with dealing with a significant other struggling with depression?
Oh,
and
boy.
Then it says, P.S. You guys are great. Thanks.
Go to 45-minute mark of this podcast. No, just go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Significant other, like someone that I'm dating, dealing with depression. Not myself personally, but definitely like myself personally in the sense of I've dealt with depression, but never having to deal with another person. I guess I don't know if that what the real question beyond this would be like is like how to help that person. I'm assuming because there wasn't much. Is that the only thing that was said?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've said this many times. I'll say this again. I think it can never be said enough is like if you genuinely know someone or you feel like you're genuinely experiencing depression, which is a very real thing, especially clinical depression, you should talk to someone. And it shouldn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be like, you know, someone in your circle. It should be someone like a fucking therapist, like try to seek help, try to seek doctor aid, whatever it is. Because if you are clinically depressed, then there is a certain level of hormones that are like dysfunctional in your body that no matter how much someone can be like, tell you that you're good and, you know, say go out in the sun and meet people. It's like, you're just literally like you have an inability to reach that level of serotonin because your body is like void of it. So mm-hmm. It depends at what level of, you know, depression someone is dealing with. But I think the first case is identify that and take the, you know, take the right road towards it. Cause if it's clinical, then you need essentially medical attention to cure this ailment. And then at the same time, like I said earlier with Bob, if it's not clinical, if it's just like a, you know, seasonal depression or something where it's like, I'm just down at this point in my life, you really have to try to identify what sort of depression and what's causing it. And then set up different things that you can do to create more balance in your life. Cause a lot of times like the depression will come from a supreme imbalance of your life and your activities and your focus. So, yeah, that's my take on it. Don't be afraid to get help and seek help. Do you have anything on that?
Do I have to answer the question too?
Yeah, if you want to.
I think if you have a significant other, it depends on, there's a lot of variables, but I think just letting them know that you're there for them, and if they, you can be open with them, and you can, because therapy doesn't always work for everybody, but I think that it just depends on a lot of different things. But yeah, I think that what I always try and say is that whatever you're going through in life, whether how down and out you are, there's somebody going through worse things. So a coping method could be, maybe instead of just keeping it all in, maybe pouring out to distract yourself and helping other people that are worse than you, and going out and doing something nice for somebody and fucking trying to make somebody else's day better that's going through something maybe worse than you.
Yeah. And then I think ultimately, guys, is like, it all,
by the way, I'm no fucking Tony Robbins over here, but
yeah, you know. No, I understand. I think ultimately it comes down to communication. Like, if you're telling me there's someone that, like, you know, is dealing with this, or if you're dealing with this, the biggest thing is creating the paths of communication for whether it's you dealing with it, having the ability to speak to someone mm-hmm. outward. And because, like, the problem with, like, mental health in general is it's inside us, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're not willing, or if we don't have people around us that we feel like, hey, I can come to and I could talk to, mm-hmm. you know, in confidence, or I could talk to vulnerably, mm-hmm. then you're running around these thoughts in your head, and they just go back in circles, back and forth.
And it depends the severity on it too. Like, I mean, if it's something a real thing, you got to seek professional help. For if sure. it's something crazy fucking that it's like, you know, you got to go to a doctor who's the best at this. I mean, that does this for a fucking living. So,
yeah. So in communication, guys, key. But yeah, go next one.
All right, this one says, I've been following you for about a year and a half, and I follow your pod, fitness blogs, and blog page. I want to know what advice do you have for somebody who struggles with anxiety and depression to overcome the fear of being judged in the gym? I go and see other people being social, having fun, and making friends. I try to apply myself, and this has not been my best experience. It's difficult to find motivation and confidence to be consistent with a healthy lifestyle, although I want to live one. What are, like, how can you guys help me?
I just want to say one thing real quick. I love that question, because a lot of the reason why I can't go to the gym too sometimes is I'm afraid to work out in front of other people because I'm not at the level of that.
It's crazy that that's a common thing, but, like, the truth is no one gives a fuck at the gym.
I know.
Like, no one is going there being like, hey, maybe, like, some fucking 16-year-old kids who are just some little shitheads who are in the gym who, like, aren't doing shit how they should be anyways, probably looking around at people, maybe judging them. But, like, you have to kind of understand that for the most part, people in the gym, they're not just in there like, I'm just looking to judge people today. Like, if, like, a real person who's in the gym, like, I'm in there and I'm in there, I live that life, I'm never in there because I'm strong and big and I could squat, do all this weight. I'm never looking at, like, that kid, be like, look at this fucking pussy. This kid can't do anything. Like, never
right.
once.
Right. Get out of your own head.
Never once.
I know. That, and the funny thing is, the guy's like, by the way, I wrote that question.
Yeah, you
said
that.
That's my fucking question. That's my question.
It's never that way.
Oh, I'm always like, fuck, dude. You know?
No one gives a fuck. It's just focus on your fucking self.
I don't mind the dad bod, by the way. I like the dad bod.
I mean, it works for you.
Some girls are into the dad bod.
No, it's a real thing.
It's a real fucking thing.
It's a whole real thing. But regardless, like, dad bod or not, I'm just saying, like, you have to get out of your own head. I mean, this goes with so many things in life, but
that's hard to do.
Very, very hard to do.
Hard
but
to do.
If you can just go in there, put some headphones on, and just focus on yourself and focus on your workout, that's the key.
And also, too, this is the other thing in life, too, is the hardest part is, and I don't, listen, I'm not somebody to fucking that knows all whatever and all, but the hardest part is starting. It's like anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once you start something, and then you start building momentum, but you just got to fucking force yourself to do it. Like you said, block out the fucking noise.
Yeah.
Put on the fucking headphones. Just get in there. Not just speaking for the gym.
Yeah. Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
And just, you'll see. You'll forget about it.
And I'll say this. Give yourself at least three weeks. 3 weeks of whatever it is, like, effort every day towards this.
Yeah.
3 weeks will go by and you'll be like, wait, like, I actually I'm enjoying this process.
I gotta get in the gym with you.
Yeah, you do, man. We already know that.
I just gotta take a 3-hour train to fucking zap
it's
hand.
It's not that far, dude. It's not that far. Give us the last question.
Okay.
It's not that far. We'll sort it out.
Let's see.
Yeah,
there was one.
You got
here
this,
for...
I believe. Give
Sorry.
Us one that's not about depression and anxiety.
Yeah, literally. They're like, so if we're thinking about slitting our wrists in the middle of the night. It's like the Google search where you talk on your phone and they know what you're talking about and they're just like, bringing it up.
It's like,
Sometimes there's funny ones.
Why is this a big thing with you that a lot of people bring this up?
Well, yeah, I talk about it a lot. I mean, I've dealt with tons of it in my life, like genuinely. So
I just don't watch any content of anybody's.
No, it's fine. It's all good.
I mean, this one is not about anxiety or depression, but this person's saying, my question to you is if it is okay to be friends with your ex. I've been with her for 4 years and we've talked about a future together and starting family, but unfortunately they're no longer together. And that's why the question is, can you be friends with your ex?
On this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. Please repeat the question one more time. I'm very sorry.
Basically, can you be friends with your ex?
Fuck no.
I believe that you should be friends with your ex.
After time, though. You need some time.
For liability reasons?
No. But, like, here's the deal. It can't be, like, the next day. You're like, all right, good, we're done. Let's be pals. Well,
I think it also depends, though. I think it's great. Depends how it ends.
For sure.
I've had a lot of relationships that have ended.
But still, it's like the sexual stuff. It's like you have to, I think, give some time. Because, like, if it ends, like, let's say it ends kind of amicably, but then, like, the guy or the, who knows, either side is like, oh, but like maybe I could still get this. Mm-hmm. And then you still kind of reach for it. And then you start to like kind of rub each other the wrong way.
Don't overthink it. Just be nice to everybody.
Just be nice.
Just be kind.
It depends. You're right. So how it ends, if it's bad, you do have to step away.
Well, even if it's bad, what are you going to do? I've had a relationship that's bad. What are you going to be, an asshole? What are you going to do? What's the good?
No, bro. Okay, I'll give you an example.
It's only
going
to just fill your head in this fucking with crap.
My ex literally does not want me to talk to her.
Okay, then you stay away.
Yeah, but in my heart, I'm like, yo, I hope she's good.
Yeah, so just wait for the right time, and maybe it'll happen where you cross paths, you figure it out. Until then, yeah, just don't do it. But, you know, I'm the same way. I don't talk to a lot of my exes, but at the end of the day, I never wish bad and never really had... Yeah, I mean, I think that always everything should be ended in a peaceful manner. Yeah. But, I mean, look at it. I've had girls fucking cheat on me, you know? And then when the girls that I fucking trusted, that I put my faith in, my time and everything, that have cheated on me, it sucks for a while. You're going to go nuts. But at the same time, just be like, you know what? Moving on.
Yeah.
Kill them with kindness.
That's the key, man.
That's why I'll get called a pussy, but whatever.
No, it's fine. That's the most genuine response. I mean, I just think... It depends on the circumstances. Take a little bit of time. If I'm giving you my honest answer, take a little bit of time before you try to like spend time with them again or see how they're doing. Because sometimes maybe they're just not ready for it.
By the way, I have 5 active restraining orders out, by the way, with all my ex-girlfriends.
Do you really? No. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
I'm fucking with you. No.
Like, definitely don't take that advice from him.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say worst to have relationship advice with, but.
Yeah. Well, that's it, guys.
It's been awesome. It's probably the most fun I've had in a room in a while.
Really?
All my life. Swear to God. Glad I came.
I'm glad you came too, man. I know we were trying to do it for a while. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people they try to start beef between even you and I that I wasn't on the podcast, and they were like,
brother, just do it. I don't have to have it.
Yeah,
take it. I mean, I'll figure the next venture. It doesn't matter. I just want the guy. I don't give a fuck.
I really don't.
I've already accomplished all my goals. I'm good. May the best man win.
Hell yeah.
And it's not even that. Whatever it is.
I appreciate you coming, man. Sincerely,
you're the best, Bradley. You're the best.
I know you took a long. It took a long time to get here because it's like from Hollywood. Yeah.
What's the ride fucking back gonna be?
Huh? I don't know. It's going to be a little bit
Steve
tough.
Will do it. We need a fucking helicopter out of
here. Helicopter.
So I am coming from Hollywood. So what do you think right now?
It's going to be tough right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Real tough right now. Anyway, subscribe to the fucking channel. Subscribe to the YouTube. Check out Bob on all his platforms. Check out the Full Send podcast.
Whoa. Wait a minute. I mean, am I allowed to give my plugs here?
No, you can't. Hold on one sec. Yeah. If you're on fucking YouTube, make sure you go on iTunes. Fucking click the plus button. Number one podcast in the world, coming back at you next Tuesday at 11 a.m. I love you guys.
All right. My you want my plug?
Go ahead. Do it. Run it.
My plug is just do not follow Summer Sheiky. That's all I ask. My girlfriend. That's my plug at the end of the day. Stay away from Summer.
You're so fucking stupid.
That's all it is.
All right. That's it. We're out of here. Love you guys. Oh, my God. It's fucking funny.
That was a lot of fun.
That's a good way to end it. Solid work.